Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Welcome to the Tracy Sandler Show. I am your host, Tracy Sandler, and I am so excited to welcome back to the show the incredible, talented, funny, smart, handsome, amazing Steve Weisch of NFL Network. Intros are kind of my thing. So
I was about to say, I do not check a whole bunch of those boxes, but thank you.
You're welcome. You do in my eyes. That's really all that matters.
That's what matters.
At least for the next 30 to 45 minutes.
There you go.
Steve, welcome back. How are you?
I'm great. You know, it's awesome. We're doing this. We're doing this on the day of the eclipse. And
we are.
You know, my wife and I had on our glasses. We were, you know, we're here in L.A. So, you know, I was kind of disappointed because it only covered about a quarter of the sun, but it's still kind of a cool, you know, natural phenomenon. So we lived through it, Tracy. We're all good.
We did. And I was like, I know this is a big deal and I want to be so into it, but I feel like being here in LA, we just didn't have the same kind of experience. And we both talked about knowing people in Texas and different parts of the country and the world that were getting full coverage and this whole major eclipse experience. It felt here in LA to me that it was just kind of hazy outside, maybe too much smog.
Maybe where you are, it's not actually clear where I am. I mean, I had a pretty good shot, but again, you know, a good friend of mine is down in Mazatlan, you know, Mexico for this event. So he got the full Monty. But it is what it is. It's LA. It's like 72 degrees. You know, we can't complain about anything. It's beautiful out. So it's a picture perfect day other than a little bit of haze.
It is. And so very LA this morning when I went to my trainer at 8 a.m., I said to her, it's like 50 degrees outside. It's freezing. I was told it was going to be in the 70s today, which was like the most LA obnoxious weather comment of all time, but that's our right for living here. So yeah,
there we go.
It's down to the last four teams. BetOnline has been your tournament bracket headquarters all March long. And now that we're almost down to the finals, we've still got a lot more in store. MLB is here and NBA, NHL playoffs are around the corner. As always, BetOnline is the number one source for your summer sports wagering. Head to BetOnline today to stay updated on all the action and remember to use promo code BELIEVE, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, the game starts here. Well, let's talk about another city in California. I hope you really enjoyed that segue. just moved into our conversation about the San Francisco 49ers who reside in Santa Clara. And we have the NFL draft coming up in just over a couple of weeks, but they've made a lot of changes in this offseason for a team, especially that lost by 3 points in overtime in the Super Bowl. So was not looking for a full rebuild by any means. A lot of changes have been made. We've talked on this podcast quite a bit about, of course, losing Eric Armstead, but the aggregate upgrade of the defensive line that we can talk more about. We've talked about Steve Wilks being fired, Nick Sorensen promoted from within, Brandon Staley coming in as assistant head coach. And that's kind of where I want to start with you, because you spent a lot of time talking to Kyle Shanahan at the league meetings just a couple of weeks back. And I would love to hear kind of your thoughts coming out of that with him, what you think the Brandon Staley effect is going to be. And let's start there, and then we can continue on.
Yeah, let's start with Brandon Staley, because, you know, this is something we've all been trying to pin Kyle down on, is what is Brandon Staley's role?
Mm-hmm.
And he tried it, but then he finally said, okay, Steve's not going to relent here on this. So it's kind of it's an intriguing spot, because I've seen more and more former head coaches or coordinators kind of take this position where he's kind of a positionless coach. So Nick Sorensen gets promoted to DC. So Brandon's going to help him out some, but he's also, Kyle said, he's going to be helping me out more than anything in terms of doing projects and upcoming opponents. Like, this is what the defense sees when they're facing your offense from the scheme that they run. So the one thing you know about Kyle is he's big on having answers to every scenario. So that's really what Staley's going to do for him and helping him on the offensive side of the ball. He's going to give him a defensive viewpoint, again, in scanning upcoming opponents, scouting upcoming opponents, and letting him know, here's a counter, here's a counter, here's things that they're trying to do to you. So that's a huge boon for Kyle. Plus, he's gonna help out Sorensen, right? They're going to go back to more of the scheme that they ran, kind of that Seattle formula that they ran at D'Amico Ryans and Robert Sala, that they got away from some last year, more so on the back end than on the front seven. So he's going to be there to help, you know, with that dynamic. The interesting thing is, though, is like, okay, if it doesn't work, is Kyle going to lean more on Brandon Staley? I think that's what all of us think about, because we know Staley's calling card is defense. So is Sorensen going to get the autonomy, or is he going to have – you know, be more so the pupil who's trying to impress the teacher? So that's something to monitor as we get into this. But the plan right now, again, we hear about hybrid players and this and Brandon Staley is going to be the hybrid hand for Kyle Shanahan. And I think it's going to be at different points of the season, defense and offense. But from everything I gather from speaking with Kyle, he is really just going to be another set of eyes to help him scheme up his offense, because he knows counters are going to be coming. And one thing about Brandon Staley, who I have so much respect for this guy, by no fault of his, he is the smartest guy in the room. Like, this dude is next level brilliant. He sees things through a different prism. So I think that's really going to help Kyle as well.
You bring up an interesting point, though, and something to monitor. Is Sorensen going to have the autonomy? Now, I want to take us back a little bit. Kyle's had this before, not in this kind of situation where he's promoted someone to defensive coordinator and then brought in this hybrid coach. I love that term, the hybrid hand, brought in that coach. But Anthony Lynn was an assistant head coach for Kyle Shanahan for the last several years, and now he has moved on. So he's had this before. I think somehow that role came in quieter when he was hired, and people didn't make as big a deal. But the situation was very different. But for our listeners, this isn't like an entirely new thing in the San Francisco coaching situation.
In terms of title, it isn't. Right. Anthony Lynn came in as assistant head coach because Bobby Turner, the legendary running backs coach, had to go out, and I believe he had one, if not both, hips replaced.
Yes, that is correct.
So they wanted to keep him on staff while he rehabbed. But so Anthony Lynn kind of came in and filled into that running backs coach role, right? He had more of a specific streamlined role than Brandon Staley has. Brandon Staley is more of the freelance guy, so to speak, the freelance contractor, whereas Anthony was more of the running backs coach / run game coordinator. And again, that was for the dynamic of the Bobby Turner role. So that's why this is a little different, but in title, of course, that's where you're going to see that, right?
But yeah, definitely different situations. It will be interesting to monitor. If it works, I think it could work very, very well. And it could be a good thing for Brandon Staley, kind of interim, leaving, obviously, let go as the coach of the Chargers and kind of moving into a different role? This is such a random question, and it has nothing to do with the 49ers specifically, but as long as we're on the subject, just in your opinion, what makes some people so good at being able to go from coordinator to head coach and some people not so much?
So that's a great question, because there are varying degrees of this, mm-hmm. right? Everybody loves the position coach and sometimes the coordinator because they've got more direct daily hands-on contact with the players, right? They know more so of what the players may have going on in their personal lives, why they may, mm-hmm. you know, if someone's wife is pregnant, why this player may not be completely focused in a certain situation, things like that. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's in tune, but the coordinators and the position coaches are great, you know, usually the guys you deal with, right? Mm-hmm. So then when they have to go to the authoritarian hand, right, and you got to make decisions like cutting a guy who is best friends with your star linebacker,
mm-hmm.
I thought we were good. I thought we were nucleus, right, to making other decisions. By not getting that time, you know, that's one element of it. You see it more so with position coaches going to coordinators and head coaches, which is why the Antonio Pierce thing is going to be very interesting with the Raiders, because everybody loves Antonio, but mm-hmm. now he's going to make hard decisions and cut guys and things like that. We'll see how much that affinity lasts. Another reason is if you are a coordinator, you are focused on one side of the ball, right? Some guys can deal with coaching 22.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because you're coaching 22. You're not having to stand in front of the room of 53 plus coaches daily to design practices, to say, okay, this is what we're working on today. Okay, it's Wednesday. Okay, so we're going 20 to 20. We're going, okay, our backs are inside the 10 on offense. How are we going to get out of that? And blah, blah, blah. Explain all that day structure. You're not doing that as a coordinator.
Right.
You're doing it on the field, but you're not doing that in front of 53. So some guys are better tacticians and better communicators when it comes to the X's and O's, whereas other guys are great motivational dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And this and that. And it really, like, you see someone like Mike Tomlin, like, mm-hmm. he doesn't call offense or defense, but man, that guy's got his arms around all his coaching staff and his team.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas you have some of these other guys like a Kyle Shanahan or a Sean McVay who are intricately involved with the scheming of one side of the ball on offense, but also know how to communicate with everybody on the team. That's why they're so good at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's a weird, some guys have it, some guys don't. I think Brandon Staley actually has it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the one thing you heard about Brandon with the Chargers is, again, because he's so smart, it was constant information overload. Like, mm-hmm. dude, just let us play football sometimes. We do not need all of this stuff coming at us. So that's kind of what led to some of the fatigue plus the losing, as to why he is no longer the head coach there.
Would you say, in your expert opinion, do you think it's harder to go from position coach to coordinator or coordinator to head coach?
And coordinator to head coach.
Okay. That was going to be my guess, but.
Yeah, I mean, the coordinator has to do media once a week. Head right. coach has to do it 3 or 4 times a week. Head coach has got to go hobnob with sponsors. Coordinators don't have to do that. Mm-hmm. Head coach is the one getting the phone calls from the owners saying, explain to me this. The head coach is the one who's got to meet with the general manager saying, hey, this left guard is getting a little old. We're going to have to get some things in place next year to replace him. Just the overall responsibility is so much more significant as a head coach. You know, plus, if something happens on the field, you're the one who has to answer for it, even though you may not have anything to do with it because the buck stops with you.
How do you think, and again, there's no way to know yet, but from what you know, what you've seen over the years, how do you think Nick Sorensen will adjust from being a position coach to coordinator? Because I'm thinking a little bit about what you said before. As a position coach, he knows those guys. He knows mm-hmm. the ins and outs of them, the intricacies. As a coordinator, he will know that, but now there's a lot more guys to know that about.
Well, the good thing is he's been there, right? So the thing that the Niners do so well, right, Kyle is one of the few coaches in the NFL that does that grooms and promotes, right? Mm-hmm. He went outside that role with Steve Wilkes, and there were fissures, right? It didn't mm-hmm. quite work. But you've seen it work, especially on the defensive side of the ball, what Sorensen brings to this, he's a longtime special teams coach and special teams coordinator. What is the strength of special teams coordinators? Being able to constantly adjust a revolving door of players coming mm-hmm. and going because you're churning the back end of the roster. So last year you saw that when he was coaching the nickels and guys in the secondary, when they made moves from Oliver
Diomedor Lenore, where they moved and started moving Diomedor Lenore.
They moved him around in and out. Right. So he's used to transitioning and moving, right? You have to communicate with these guys on the back end, especially again, coaching nickels now, what offenses are doing out of that slot position. And those dudes are now corners, safeties, outside linebackers. Right. So him having that experience and having trust, because Kyle's not going to promote someone who the players aren't going to trust. Sure, if they think he's weak, there's no way that veteran group is going to be okay with this. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Kyle, as we know, he took a long time to make this decision. But this is somebody, again, I think with his help, with Staley's help, and with Chris Kocurek, the best defensive line coach in the NFL, with his help, right? They're all going to be able to come in stages. He just has to unify this. And that's why having an offseason to kind of come to grips with this, some of the personnel changes, mm-hmm. that's where he's got to, you know, that's where he's got to figure some things out. But this is also where having Fred Warner, you know, and Nick Bosa, and some of these veterans, even an imported guy like Leonard Floyd, are going to help him because you've got talented players who are going to be able to give their input to help him along.
And even in the secondary, you have Charvarius Ward, you have Diomedor Lenore, who at this point is a veteran. He's on his rookie contract, but he's going into his fourth season in the NFL, and he plays like a veteran. So I think that's going to be helpful as well, especially as they figure out the secondary question mark, potentially Talanoa Hufanga, who's coming off an ACL injury. The 49ers have not been quiet about the fact they are in the market for a safety for at some level. And we'll see what happens as, you know, the weeks go on, as the draft happens. But there are things on this defense that it's interesting. Sorensen, in some ways, he's coming in to almost a perfect situation. You have a defense that was just in the Super Bowl, as we mentioned earlier, was lose by 3 points in overtime. They're very close to winning the Super Bowl. There were some issues there. There were some breakdowns, but ultimately they lost to the best guy on the planet to do it, who may be basically impossible to defend in those situations, but he has a good situation. But on the other hand, they've lost Eric Armstead, who was a veteran on this team, and it was a decision that is understandable on both sides. They do have a lot of new guys coming in on the line. You mentioned Leonard Floyd. They may finally have found their guy for the other side of Nick Bosa. So he's got a lot of veterans, but he's also got a lot of newness, and there's a draft coming up. So it's an interesting position to be in. I think he's a good guy to be in that position, but on the outside, it could look really easy, but there are some things he's going to have to deal with on that defense.
Sure. And like you said, incorporating someone like Hufanga back in there, you know, Sorensen's a longtime safety in the NFL.
Yeah.
Right? This is his sweet spot. Mm-hmm. And there might be some things, you know, in speaking with Talanoa early last year before he got hurt, he loved what Wilkes was doing with him because Wilkes is giving him more freedom to maneuver back there. Mm-hmm. Like Sorensen may put him more in more of a structured role. Okay, you're going to play free, and here sometimes you're going to slide down in the box, and that's that. So we'll see how that goes. Plus, you're incorporating, you know, Devondre Campbell into the Dre Greenlaw role there on the second level.
Oh, yeah, I didn't even bring that part up, which is a big one.
So you've got those things. But again, those are factors that are in place. Devondre Campbell, someone who's been on a couple teams and fit right in perfectly. Mm-hmm. Right, Leonard Floyd has fit right in perfectly. They're adaptable players, which are huge. Now, the Armstead thing, you know, the one thing is it's not a great – when you talk to it, it's not a great D-tackle draft once you get on the first two or three. But, again, that's where Kocurek has taken guys and really developed some guys into great players. So, you know, we'll see how that works. But, you know, they've got to address some things on the offensive line as well. I mean, they've got to get a little bit more physical with some of the things they have to. So we'll see where they go in the first couple rounds. But, you know, again, this is a team that is in need of a significant upgrade to have somebody come in and be, you know, a rookie of the year caliber player out of the gate.
So I want to talk a little bit about the draft, but first I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you a question. Pretend there's no draft. They decide we're just not going to have it this year. No, you guys can come back next year. A lot of people will be really upset about that, but I'm just saying, we're just going to pretend that that happens. And whoever you sign as a free agent, you're done now. That's it. Also, we're going to do away with the trade deadline next year. We're just going to really nuts and bolts this next season, okay? So we're pretending in hypotheticals. Is this 49ers team and defense good enough as it stands to beat Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. Yeah, look, we can sit here and nitpick everything about what happened with the 49ers defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Their issues that cost them the game, no matter what you want to say about overtime or whatever, was the kicking game.
100%.
It was the punt and it was the missed PAT. You make the extra point, we're not having this conversation about a lot of the things that happened. So those are the big issues. Yeah, there were some mistakes defensively, but last I checked, Patrick Mahomes wasn't hanging 30 on them in regulation.
No. I mean, in my opinion, the game was lost on the fumbled punt. That was it.
It changed everything.
Yeah,
it changed everything. So that was more of the – so, yeah, the 49ers, they're right there. I mean, again, they don't need a radical shift or to go through the cleansing like the Bills are going through to remake things for them to be competitive.
So and good news is they're not going to cancel the draft. They're not going to say you can't send any more free agents. And they're not doing away with the trade deadline. In fact, they're making the trade deadline even nicer by giving everybody an extra week. So look at that. So that's great news for all involved.
Here's something real quick on the trade deadline. You know what that falls on?
Election day. That's going to be quite the day.
The mail-in voting. We're in California. You got to do the early voting there. It's great.
Yes, I'll definitely do the early voting because I'm going to have to be very focused on the trade deadline. The early voting, actually, even for these midterms, I was looking at election. I love voting. By the way, this is not meant to be like a soapbox PSA, but right. I just love to vote. I used to work in politics, so that probably is part of it. But I love voting. And I looked at election day and I was like, it is going to be, I had a really busy day that day. And obviously I was finding time to vote, but I was like, I'm going to get up like 6:30, be there 7 a.m. And then I had this moment. I was like, wait a minute. I have a ballot in my house that I can fill out and go put in the ballot box. And I just, again, wasn't meant to be a soapbox, but that being said, there is no excuse not to vote. So I'm just going to put that in here.
There you go. 1,000%.
No excuse not to vote. So trade deadline's election day. We'll, I'm sure, be talking a lot in several months about that.
It might get overshadowed a little bit this year.
It might get overshadowed.
Now's the time to pull off a blockbuster deal because no one's going to be talking about it.
100%. That's really funny. That's a very good point. It'll be like the last thing on anyone's mind, which is funny. But let's go back to the draft because you said, obviously, as we know, defensive tackle after the first couple, not great. But this is, going back to the Sorensen discussion and everything, it's a really good nickel draft. Mm-hmm. And very deep nickel draft. Everybody who has ever met me or heard of me knows that my favorite nickel is Mikey Sanders still out of the great University of Michigan. Obviously, people who just like know my name exists in the world would probably know that. But I understand there are other nickels in the draft that are good, I guess. Are there any others to you that jump out? Or if you just want to talk about Sanders still, that's fine too.
No, I mean, look, the thing is this, and this is where Sorensen is going to have to come in because different teams use different body types for their slot, mm-hmm. corner, slot, nickel.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Brandon Staley uses safety, right? Derwin James.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That was their slot guy. The Dolphins and previously the Rams, they use Jalen Ramsey inside and outside. So you have to look at the rest of your defense. You can't just look at the individual personnel. Mm-hmm. You have to look at what you're doing in front of that player and then what you have behind that player before all of a sudden you say, this is my nickel. Then you have to look at the versatility aspect of saying, what's going to be more important in what we do in our scheme? Is it our corners, which the Niners have not valued like other teams have compared to their safeties in the secondary, right? They'd rather be a front seven team, have the safeties come down and be that third or fourth linebacker or be the deep free. They love their corners.
Mm-hmm.
But again, when it comes to their value, they've never really invested until they went out and got
Charvarius Ward.
You know, that's when they really, so they've got that. So what do they want, you know, in terms of that slot? So this is a great discussion because there's no more value position. You look at some of the guys who got re-signed this year, like Taron Johnson, the Bills, stud slot corner. Kenny Moore of the Colts got re-signed, both of them, to three-year, $30 million deals. That's a nice chunk of change for slot, that slot position. That is a position of value. So it's a lot of times you talk to evaluators, it's hard to judge those guys coming out of college. You know, because sometimes people are put in the slot to be protected. They're good players, but they're more in the box safeties than anything. So again, I think that really all depends on what Sorensen and this defense want to do.
It's also kind of interesting because we mentioned D'Amador Lenore earlier, and he has such versatility.
Had a great year.
Great year. And he can come inside. He's great on the outside. He's great on the inside. But they had a good situation with him and Charvarius Ward on the outside there. They bring Isaiah Oliver in thinking that's their slot guy. They don't have to worry about it. That's their nickel. Didn't work. Nope. So then they have to bring Lenore in. So I guess they are in an interesting position when it comes to corner because potentially they find a guy in the draft that's their nickel. And they can leave Lenore on the outside where he was fantastic, or they find a guy in the draft. They also brought in Isaac Yodam, and I keep thinking I say his last name wrong, but in free agency, and it's a guy they like a lot and a guy that they think could compete to start on the outside if indeed they decide to have Lenore stay inside. So they have some versatility there, which means for them, obviously we know offensive line is going to be their big thing in the draft, but as they go into the second round, in the third round, the fourth round, corner is important, but they do have a little flexibility is the word I'm looking for. Flexibility. Are they looking for their nickel? Are they looking for a backup outside guy who could potentially be a starter? If Yodam doesn't work out, they do have some flexibility there, I guess.
Yeah, and it depends where the value is, right? Yeah. You get into the second or third round and the best player on the board is an outside corner. Great. We're going to get him. And one, they're going to probably try to cross train him inside and outside based on what they do schematically. And if things don't work inside, you've got Lenore, who was just fantastic last year. He was great last year in that slot.
Lenore was a six-round gem. Yeah. And we talked about this a little bit last week on the podcast, but I would actually really love to hear your thoughts on this. This is Lynch and Shanahan's, especially Lynch's first draft without Adam Peters. And he really was integral in finding those later round gems. This is a different draft, and those later rounds maybe don't have as many gems this year as we've seen in years past. You're not potentially not getting a franchise quarterback with your final pick in the draft this year. But when you look at this draft and you look at the Adam Peters effect, you know, I think it's the kind of thing that maybe the casual fan doesn't really think about, but it's a big deal for this administration.
Look, one of the toughest things, and I'm so glad you brought this up, because very few people talk about it. It's not just Adam Peters. It's the overall personnel department drain, right? You've had Rand Carthon. You've had like Martin Mayhew. You've had people leave. And this is stuff that tends to decimate teams because you have some scouts. And I'm going to use Alonzo Highsmith, longtime Packer scout.
Okay.
He is known for finding dudes, right? Not just a fast guy or a great guy or a productive guy in college, but a dude who just loves this game. Like, you may find a guy in the fourth round who has a 15-year career and is a dog all the way up to his final snap. You lose those people from your building. So now maybe you're going more on analytics and metrics. Yeah, you know, it matches up with the film. But is he that guy who's always going to be there when he gets to a second contract? Is he that guy who will sacrifice for a teammate based on the scheme he's in, right? He's the number one outside receiver. Is he going to sacrifice and move inside and block in certain situations when the going gets tough, when there's an injury, right? So certain people have that sixth sense. Adam Peters is one of those guys, right? And he's going to a franchise that has stacked its coaching staff. So that's going to be real interesting to see what happens in Washington, because I think they're going to flip that pretty quickly.
I do too.
And I think, you know, Adam's someone who's been respected for years. But again, the overall personnel drain that has come from the Niners, as well as the coaching drain, and the fact that they've got something inherent to develop, you know, and continue to give those guys opportunities, I think it's very, very special. They're one of the few teams that's been able to do that. And frankly, it's a lot of the people coming from the Shanahan tree that has been able to do that, which is why I do think promoting from within is a very, very key thing that Kyle has done, unlike most other coaches.
Yeah, that's correct. I think what's really amazing, too, is the amount of people they've lost and they haven't really missed a beat. No. In Santa Clara. They just keep going and keep finding those guys. And I think that is a credit very much to Kyle Shanahan and a credit to John Lynch. And the Steve Wilks thing may have been a mistake. Well, not may have. It was a mistake and it didn't work out. But this still was a pretty good defense that got to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that seemed like it was
a disaster.
Yeah, it didn't seem like it was as much of a schematic thing as more so of a personality clash. Again, they yeah. this is the one time Kyle has stepped away from the pipeline. Mm-hmm. Steve Wilks is a damn good coach. It just didn't work there.
Right.
So, again, Steve Wilks would probably go on and do great things elsewhere, and I think Kyle would be very happy for him if that were the case. It's just something with the scheme Kyle wanted to run where it just was not the perfect match.
So I'm just going to throw out a draft question that has nothing to do with the 49ers because they got their quarterback. They got their guy. But this is an interesting quarterback class. There's been a lot of discussion about the quarterbacks. We just talked about the Commanders. They're going to be looking for a quarterback, Dan Quinn and Adam Peters. There was talk of J.J. McCarthy. I don't really think that's actually going to happen. But when you look at this class, I want J.J. in Minnesota, too. So I'm just manifesting that for J.J. That being said, if Adam Peters drafts J.J. McCarthy, there's a chance I'm moving to D.C. and covering the Commanders. So, you know, you just never know.
Great city.
I used to live there. So it would be, I used to live there working in politics, if we're going to go full circle on the conversation of this podcast. So it would be an easy transition. But when you look at this class, who are the guys, I guess, what do you think of these top guys? Are there any that are going to surprise you? Do you think they have it? Is it impossible to know right now? That's so many questions I just threw at you at once. So feel free to just answer however you want to.
Yeah, look, there's no way to answer it because, you know, who would have thought that Trey Lance would be the backup in Dallas after third being drafted where he was? Who would have thought that whole draft class would be pretty much of a disaster?
Exactly.
After the first pick. So it's hard to sit here and say, even though Caleb Williams is special, he is, people can sit here and say this or that. Like, go back and watch his tape from all the way back at Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. He can play on schedule. He can do very good things. And the way the Bears have fortified their roster to support him, I think he's got a shot, even though historically the Bears have not been great at developing quarterbacks.
What?
when I was at the league meeting, so the guy, and these weren't the guys trying to blow smoke, right? These are the guys. Jaden Daniels is the guy everybody loves. Everyone, you know, the Bears love Caleb. He's going to Chicago. But Jaden Daniels, I mean, from Washington to New England to the Raiders, they would love to get their hands on him. So I would not be stunned if he's the number two overall pick, which makes the number three pick interesting. Because, you know, we're all saying Drake May. You know, and I sat down with Gerard Mayo for a while. He's like, look, the one thing when you draft a quarterback that high is you have to love him. Mm-hmm. You have to love him. You don't want to be in a situation where the Bears are having to dump Justin Fields before his rookie contract ends because he just didn't work out. That's a killer. It gets coaches fired. So we'll see if these teams after Chicago will have the guy there. Because, okay, what happens all of a sudden if New England takes J.J. McCarthy? Is Minnesota cool with Drake May? You know, all these teams are doing their homework, but does he fit what they want to do? Does he fit their roster? And a lot of times that has not been taken into account. Where teams have a plan in place, then they get a quarterback and realize he doesn't quite fit into that roster or into that locker room, and then it all goes haywire. So you have to know your roster, right? The Bears, they know their roster. Washington is starting from scratch in a lot of ways. New England is kind of, okay, we're going to see how this goes. In Minnesota, they've got a good team, right? They've got a good offensive line. It's like what C.J. Stroud walked into last year in Houston, plus Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
So
this is why I want Minnesota for J.J.
You know, I'm a Minneapolis native, so I would not mind seeing that either. So
I want, you know, I am going to become the world's biggest Vikings fan. Close.
You are. Chargers fan. You know, 2 seconds ago, you were talking about D.C. So
no, but I would wherever JJ
really
goes.
A lot here.
Well, I don't think everybody's aware that this is totally based on JJ McCarthy. So I don't really feel like the Commanders. And I'm like the president and founding member of the Adam Peters fan club. So I really want the Commanders to do well. But I'm also the president and founding member and vice president and treasurer of the JJ McCarthy fan club. So it's really wherever JJ goes is not. But Chargers also, because I got Jim. Basically, there's a theme here that I think is lost on no one. But JJ McCarthy, if he goes wherever he goes, HTTC or Soul or Broncos country, let's ride. I mean, whatever I need to do, I'll do.
Well, I don't think he's going to Washington. Remember who the OC is there is Cliff Kingsbury. He's got to have somebody who's really defensive. So yeah. I think you might be making some trips to the Twin Cities.
Cool. Well, the 49ers are playing the Vikings next year in Minneapolis. So I don't hate that. Also, I think it's the best situation for him.
And just hope it's, well, even though the game's inside, you still don't want to go there after about November 15th.
Correct, though, I have to pick my, because I have no control over the schedule, I don't want to shock anybody here, but I got to pick my schedule manifesting because the Niners play Green Bay, Buffalo, and the Vikings next year in those cities. So if I have to pick one to be after November 15th, I think I'd rather be Minneapolis because at least it's inside, but it's a lot of very cold places.
Yes, it is, but they're awesome places to be.
They are, and I've never been to Buffalo, so I can check that one. I think I have 5 stadiums left, and I can check that one off my list.
Okay.
So there you go. Well, Steve, thank you so much for joining me, and on Eclipse Day, no less, I really appreciate it. Please tell everyone where they can find you.
All right, so you can find me on Twitter and Instagram, at Wyche89, W-Y-C-H-E-89. I would say look for me at NFL Network, but it's kind of a moving target right now. that is my home base, but I will be there for draft coverage, especially in studio with me and Mike Garofolo will be in studio holding it down during the draft coverage before we send it out to Detroit for the draft coverage. But after that, check me out on Instagram and Twitter to find out where you can check me out.
All right. Fantastic. Well, I hope it's still on NFL Network because you are one of the absolute best. You guys can find me on Instagram at TracyFGSN. That's not true. You can find me on Twitter at TracyFGSN. You can find me on Instagram at Tracy Sandler. We are brought to you by Bet Online. If you like what you heard, and I know you did, please leave us a 5-star rating and a positive review. And with that, I will talk to everybody next time. Bye, all.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.